We have a whole backpack full of provisions to send. And it's a whole group of thoughts back there. Well, you don't know how she treated me. You don't know what my life is like. You don't know how I'm wired. Whatever it might be, there's a whole host of stuff in that backpack, but we are to make no provision for sin.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we continue our look at a passage which is life-changing.
And Dave, that passage is Nehemiah chapter 10. And so let's get right to it. Would you grab your Bible or your Bible app and turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 10 as we begin?
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
There's no picking and choosing which ones work best for my life. It's a humility and an understanding of a compassionate, gracious God who everything he says we should do is actually good for us. Everything he says. And when we don't do it, it's actually bad for us. We know that, right? Now, at this point, if you're truly repentant, you're going to step out, I believe, as we'll see, and obey. Now, you're going to be committed to it. Now, we do fail. We're going to see later on that some of them fail in chapter 13. And Nehemiah gets hot, and he addresses it, okay? We will fail, but there needs to be a wholehearted desire, yes, I'm going to obey. And that needs to move in the context of faith and God's empowerment to actually obey him. So how do we do this? How do we do this? How can we have a commitment to step out? How can we say, I'm going to obey the Lord? It's kind of scary. I'm going to obey you. We know we fail, right? We don't want to take an oath. Lord, I take an oath to obey you and to say, and then we know we're going to fail, right? Well, let's take a look at some passages that will help us with this. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord himself is addressing the churches. And he is addressing their sin and the things they do right. Some do right. Some, there's only one that didn't have a problem. There's others that have all problems. And there's some that have problems and some that have good things. The church at Ephesus had some good things they were doing and they had some bad things. And he's going to tell them what they need to do. And he's going to show us through this that repentance not only is a change of mind, but it is actually going and doing something. Revelation 2, verse 1. To the angel or the messenger of the church of Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. That's the Lord. I know your deeds, your toil, your perseverance. You cannot endure evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Now, these Ephesians, they listened to Paul. Paul gave his last words. Watch out. You know, elder, shepherd the flock. Bad guys are coming. And they did. They were watching out for him and they were addressing it. And they were obedient and they were persevering in difficulty. But there was an area of sin that needed to be addressed. And notice what he says. But I have this against you, that you left your first love. Well, our first love is Jesus, and from that first love is a love for one another, you see? And evidently, the Ephesians, when they came to faith, as we see in the book of Ephesians, they loved one another. But that love had waned, their love for Christ, I believe. They left it. They didn't leave it behind. They walked away from it. And so notice what he says here. He says here, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. That's identify the sin. And repent, and then notice what he says, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming back. He doesn't just say repent and stay the same. He says repent and do what you did at first. Repent, step out, and love one another. Love me. How do we know we love God? By obeying his word and loving his people, right? Okay? And he says, so do it. That's really clear and very helpful here. We also see this principle, and I read this earlier in Ephesians, and we'll look at that in a minute. But we need to be committed to doing what is right. You know, indeed, we've all been in that pit. Sometimes we don't like our sin. We pray about it. We pray to change. And then there's no real change. We think mystically something's going to happen. You know, that somehow mystically in the morning, I'm going to wake up and be different. Well, the reality is God has placed a means in which we are sanctified, a means in which we do things. And part of that means is we see in Matthew chapter 20, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. Part of that means is by faith, obeying our Lord, stepping out in obedience. We're going to see examples of things, examples of sin that we maybe pray about, but never step out and stop. We need to step out and say no to it. We're going to see in Christ, we have the power to offer ourselves to Him and not to sin. And we have to make a determination, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, even the world gets that, okay? You know, you've got a marriage that's broken up with some type of infidelity. And the wife says to him, you need to stop or we're done. The guy makes a decision to stop. And he doesn't go there anymore. You see what I'm saying? There is actions based on a change of mind. And we see that in Scripture. We're going to see these people were changing their hearts towards their sin and making a commitment to obey. Indeed, we see that within this, we need to trust and know that it is by faith that we do this. We abide in Jesus as we step out in faith. It is by His Spirit empowering us to do so. It is by His grace. His grace is sufficient. His power is perfected in weakness. We're not adequate, but if God says, stop being angry, then I, in Christ, can say no to anger. I don't have to hold on to that. I can say no. No more anger. I'm not going to do it by God's power and strength. And that applies to every sin. Now, we will fail, but we should be saying no more often and yes to what His word is and yes to saying no, right? We should say yes to saying no. And so here we have it. And I mentioned this back in Ephesians. There's a principle to this in Ephesians. It's throughout the whole New Testament. It's in the Old Testament too. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And I read this earlier. There's the renewal of the mind. There is then the putting off and putting on. And that's not simply a mind game you play with yourself. It's a reality of saying, I don't want to think this way anymore, and I'm not going to do this, and making a commitment in your heart to step out and stop doing that. And then He will say, after putting on the new self, Ephesians chapter 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where it starts. Put on the new self. This is verse 23, which is in the likeness of God, chapter 4, Ephesians 23. Be created in righteousness, holiness, and the truth. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood. In the case of those who have a false mouth, stop having a false mouth and speak truth. That's an action. That's an action. Be committed to stop saying things falsely. And He goes on and gives a list of things here. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down here. Make a commitment. I'm not going to let it go down. I'm going to confess right now. I'm going to stop. I'm going to let it go. You have to be determined to follow Jesus. If we are lazy in our thought life, we are lazy in our actions, we're going to continue to be caught up in sinful patterns. It's not saying we're not going to sin. We are going to sin. If anyone says he has no sin, he's a liar. But we are those who confess sin. And so going on in Ephesians, it says, do not give the devil an opportunity. Don't do it. That's a command. So I better not do it, right? I need to actually not do it and choose. I'm going to choose not to give Satan an opportunity because God tells me not to. And with God's command to me, there is the power to do that command if I trust Him, you see. And then He gets all the glory because He empowers me to do so because His grace is sufficient. His power is perfected in weakness. And so He says, let him who steals steal no longer. This is an action. Stop stealing and start working so you can give some money to those who are in need. That's really what it says, right? But rather, let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from mouth, but only that such as for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't burden the Spirit of God. Cause the Spirit of God to be grieved over your mouth, right? It says here, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you. Put it away. Stop it, right? Stop being angry. Stop being wrathful. Stop slandering, clamoring. Stop it. Say no to it by the power of the Holy Spirit because God tells you to. You see what I'm saying? The Lord enables us. It's just like with parents with their kids. You know, you're on their side. You know, you tell them to do something, you're going to help them do it to the nth degree, right? God's going to help us. He's going to enable us. He says, do it. And he says, put it away from you along with all malice. And here's the positive command. Be kind. I'm going to make a determination to stop being angry at my spouse, and I'm going to be kind to them instead. I'm going to make a determination, regardless of how they treat me. There's no conditions here. Well, if your spouse is not doing well, then you can be angry. No, it's not what it is. Or you can be a bad husband because of this or that, whatever it might be. So we need to be determined to do what God says. And then he says here, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Those are actions of obedience in the context of faith. I need to obey God and forgive you and forgive you and forgive you when you actually sin against me, not when it's a faux sin in my head that I've made up, when you actually sin against me, right? And then turn to Colossians chapter 3. We have the very same principle in the New Testament of being determined to say no to sin and then doing the right thing. It's actually obedience to the Word of God. And I think the real issue we have is an obedience problem. Yes, we got to work out the confession part down, but we have an obedience problem. Okay? And Christ wants us to obey him. And they were committing to do what? To walk in his ways and to obey his word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, and this is after setting your mind on the things above, not the things of earth. Hey, I got my mind on Jesus. I got my mind on what's really going on. The things of earth, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in my work, a lot of stuff going on in my relationships, a lot of stuff going on in my families, a lot of stuff going on in my physically. I'm not going to set my mind on that. I'm going to set my mind on the things above. And therefore, that leads me into this part. Therefore, Colossians 3, 5, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. Consider it, they're dead to it. In Christ, you do not have to yield to it. You think you do, you feel like you have to, but you don't. You don't. Consider them as dead. For it's account of these things, the wrath of God will come. And in them you once walked when you were living in them. But now you also, here's the actions. Here's the action. Put them all aside. It means throw them off, which means stop doing it. You could say it this way. Stop being angry. Stop having wrath. Stop your malice, your slander, your abusive speech. Put it all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. The reality is we sadly at times pray and we're broken up over our sin and we just go back right to it the next day and do it right again. Maybe we have not committed in our heart of hearts to stop doing it. Maybe we haven't asked God certainly to help us, but you know, it's the next step. Okay, I'm not going to do it. By your power and strength, Lord God, help me not to do it. Romans chapter 6, turn there. Based on our relationship with Jesus, we have the power to obey him. We have the power to obey God based on a relationship with Jesus, right? Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Romans 6, 11, and you could read the whole first part because it's talking about your union with Christ and that we're actually dead to sin's power because of what Christ has done, and we're alive to God, which means God is now enabling us to live differently. And he says here, even so, verse 11, consider yourselves to be dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So if I consider that truth that I'm dead to sin, it doesn't have power over me anymore. I don't have to yield to it. And I'm actually alive to God. I now, in that context, can offer myself to obedience and the Lord and to righteousness rather than sin. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let it be king. Don't let it have the crown in your actions. Don't let it be in control, that you should obey its lust. And do not. This is the command. We need to say, wow, okay, I, Lord, this will help us in our confession too. I have not obeyed your command to let sin not reign in my body. Right? So here, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but, positively speaking, present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. Instead of stealing, work hard in the Lord. Instead of being angry, get rid of it before the sun goes down. Instead of getting angry at people and malice, forgive. Do that instead. Start obeying the Lord. make a commitment to do so. And the Apostle Paul did so. It's by his word working in us through his spirit, by his power, in the context of faith. If you're not trusting the Lord in your obedience, then that's not from the Lord. You have to trust him, but that trust will lead you to say, no, I believe that I'm free from this sin. I believe I can now be kind, and I'm trusting you to enable me to do so. And I'm going to step out, and I'm actually going to be kind. Actually, because you're changing me, you've done it, I'm going to be kind. We make the decision, not a faux decision, a real decision within the relationship with Jesus. The Apostle Paul, everything he did was by God's grace. He recognized that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, whom not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. That's the worst sin you could have, by the way. You'll see persecuting that. He'll say he's the chief of sinners. And he says here, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and by his grace, and his grace towards me did not prove vain. But I labored all the more than them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. I went out and I labored. I exhausted myself, but it was God's grace in me while I was exhausting myself. That's called obedience. He did what God called him to do in preaching the word of God, and it was exhausting, but it was God's grace through him. He would say in Colossians 1 that we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And then he says here, and for that purpose I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works in me. You know, back in Ephesians, we saw that we're to stop these things and do these things with a renewed mind. Well, earlier in Ephesians, he said that you would know the surpassing greatness of his power towards you who believe. His power by faith will enable you to do the right thing. If you make the decision, I'm not going to be angry, and I'm going to be kind to them. I'm going to be gracious. Make the decision not to lust. I'm going to fear the Lord and turn away, making those decisions to stop sinning and to do what is right. So we see in Scripture often the idea of doing. Now, it's not doing to be saved. It's not doing to be sanctified. It's doing because we are saved. It's doing because we are being set apart. It's because of what God is doing in us. So you're probably saying, well, I don't like the idea of making an oath. And I'll tell you, I struggled with this too. I think we don't like the idea of an oath at times because we actually kind of want to do the sin we're making the oath that we don't going to say we're going to do. I think we kind of like it. We kind of want to hold on to it a little bit. And that makes it a little hard to say, Lord, I'm not going to do this anymore. Now, we're going to qualify that. We're going to qualify that. The Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, talked about oaths. And in James chapter 5, he talked about oaths. But he was talking about oaths in the context of those who were manipulating those oaths in hypocrisy to appear godly, but they were actually sinning through those oaths. You see? So he's saying, make no oath in context like that. But let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't be a liar. Basically, that's what he's saying. He's not saying don't make oaths at all. We make oaths all the time. We make some very serious oaths. I venture to say when you got married, you made a vow to be faithful to your spouse, right? I venture to say if you bought a house, you made an oath or signed that you're going to pay for that house. What you want to do, you will do. And if you want to obey the Lord, you're going to say, Lord, I want to obey you. I don't want to do this anymore. You see what I'm saying? And that's what they're doing. And I believe it's going to be manifest in, first of all, a desire to obey his word in general. Everything. I want to obey your word. Secondly, where I have failed specifically, I'm going to obey you. If it's lust, if it's anger, if it's this, I want to obey you. I want to obey you. I don't want to go this way anymore. And so then we see them making an oath, in a sense, to walk in his ways. And by the way, we can't do it apart from Christ. We can't do it apart from trusting in him. It's impossible. Apart from him, we can do nothing. If you say, I'm going to no longer do this and this and this, you're going to fail. You're going to fail on your face quickly, or you're going to become very prideful and arrogant like these Jews who didn't know the Lord. This agreement to obey the Lord is in the context of trusting him and knowing his compassion, his forgiveness, his kindness, and relying on him. It's a fruit of repentance, that illustration of the world. I'm not going to go out with that woman anymore. She's not my wife. Made the determination not to do it. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, we can make those same determinations, but we have Christ's ability to help us do what is right. If he commands you not to be angry, You need to trust him. He will enable you not to be angry, and he will. If he commands you not to worry, you need to obey him and trust him, and he will help you not worry. If he commands you not to lust, you need to trust him, and he will help you not lust. You see what I'm saying? That's really the key. But yet we make provisions. We have a whole backpack full of provisions to sin. And it's a whole group of thoughts back there. Well, you don't know how she treated me. You don't know what my life is like. You don't know how I'm wired. Whatever it might be, there's a whole host of stuff in that backpack, but we are to make no provision for sin. Look at Romans chapter 13, and we all do it. We all fail. We need to confess it and not do it. It's another command. Lord, I'm sorry that I have made provisions for these things. No, I'm not going to do it. Romans chapter 13, Romans 13, verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love doesn't wrong them. If you're wronging them, you're not loving them, right? Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And do this. Here's the doing again. God's word has a lot of doing to do, by the way. There's a lot of statements in here for us to do, right? But it's in the context of relationship with Jesus. And do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly. Actions. It's obedience. As in the day, not carousing and drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, nor strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Take that backpack of thoughts and provisions and throw it out and confess it. Make no provision to sin. Trust the Lord and obey the Lord. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. So then, these Jews were repentant. They were committed in their relationship with God to obey him. And I want to ask you, are you committed to obey the Lord at work? I'm going to obey you at work. Are you committed to obeying with your family, raising your children in the fear and admonition, obeying those scriptures? Are you committed in your marriage to live in an understanding way? And yes, we fail, but we need to be committed. Yes, I want to obey this. I'm going to obey this. To respect your husband, submit, to love him and your children, for husbands to love their wives. Are you committed to doing that? Are you saying, I am going to obey your word, Lord God, in my family? And it needs to be in the context of, I trust you to do it through me. But if you never commit to doing it, you never make a commitment, hey, I'm going to obey you, Lord. You're not going to obey him. You're not going to obey him, okay? This is a hard passage because we have this commitment thing, you know, we have this oath thing, but it's here in Scripture, right? It's very clear. Are you committed to using your gifts in the body of Christ? Are you committed to honoring him with the first fruits of what you make at work? Are you committed with your time to him? You see, we need to go all in this sense. I want to obey you in everything. Doesn't mean we're not going to fail. We will fail. We need to confess quickly. Be resolute to desiring to follow Jesus.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today you've said if we're repentant, we're going to be committed to obeying God's word.
Yes, David, indeed these Jews exemplified genuine repentance. And as we've begun to see, they were genuinely changed from the heart and were committed to obey in the areas in which they had previously failed. Now that's repentance. Well, we're not done yet in this wonderful passage, so make plans to join us tomorrow as we conclude this extremely important portion of Scripture.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.